Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 26 March 2026, Hebrews.
All right, we got one announcement. There will be a meeting after the second class this Sunday for all team members going out to Indian Springs for the Easter party on Saturday, April 14th, from 9 to noon. Well, it's just that the L on April is right next to the 4. Well, let's try it again. There will be a meeting after second class this Sunday for all team members going out to Indian Springs for the Easter party. Saturday, April 4th, from 9 to noon. This is a great opportunity for fulfilling your royal ambassadorship and presenting the grace gospel. The people out there have been so wonderful to invite us out, the evangelism team, every year. And they invite all the people in Indian Springs to come to it. And it's a great opportunity to present the grace gospel, and who knows how many people will be in heaven as a result of this. Fantastic. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Open the Word of God to Hebrews. Hebrews. And you're in for something very, very special in the study of the book of Hebrews. Absolutely phenomenal. There is no book in all of the scriptures that all the way through puts the spotlight on the Lord Jesus Christ. From beginning to end, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to have a lot of fun studying Hebrews. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And we also have an update on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas March 25th report. The Las Ventanas lesson on Wednesday, March 25th, was great. After the lady sang, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms," we listened to Pastor Olson teach our ninth lesson on the 23rd Psalm. The ladies enjoyed the review at the beginning of each lesson, In part, because our memories are fading as we age. That's the same with all of you, is that right? But also because they are thirsty for sound Bible teaching. Pastor Olson taught from John chapter 10, verses 7 through 11, to describe how Jesus is the honorable shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus fulfilled the incarnation plan of God, God the Father, leaving heaven and glory to take on true humanity. And he went to the cross to solve mankind's problem of sin. Operation Grace. Glory to God as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And we greatly appreciate your prayers. Rich Blake. All right, we're starting a new book, the book of Hebrews, and I have established a protocol whenever we start a new book. And you should have that protocol down by now. So we're going to go through the protocol, first of all, this evening. Point one, title. The title. Now, in the Greek, the title looks like this. That's how it looks like. Pros or pros Hebraeus. Pros Hebraeus. And that literally means to the Hebrews. To the Hebrews. And that tells you that there were a lot of Jewish believers in this. We don't know where this congregation is. We don't know where it's located. We don't know who the author is. We don't know where the congregation is located, but we do know there were a lot of Jewish believers in this congregation. So the title in the Greek is Pros Hebraeus. Pros Hebraeus to the Hebrews. Now this title probably arose from a scribe's hand after the original autograph was written. This title is found in the best manuscripts. Now, in the manuscripts, there are uncial manuscripts. Those are all capital letters. And there are minuscule manuscripts, and those are lowercase letters manuscripts. The greatest early uncial manuscripts have this title, Pros Hebraeus. And what are those best great early uncials? This is Sinaiticus. Sinaiticus, and this one is Alexandrinus. And this one is Vaticanus. Get a little bit better for you there. These are three of the best uncial manuscripts. And then in the minuscules, the best one of all is number 33, P33. So the title is an accurate representation of the general recipients of this book, a lot of Jewish believers in this congregation, wherever that congregation was at. That's point one, title. Next in our protocol is author. Who's the author? Well, subpoint one, unknown. Nobody knows who the author is. Now, many choices have been offered. Among them, people thought maybe it's Paul or Barnabas or Apollos or Aquila or Mark or Titus or Silvanus or Luke or Clement. A lot of these names have been suggested as authors of Hebrews. Subpoint three, certain characteristics of the book seem to indicate that the author was a Jew. The author was a Jew and a classicist, very steeped in the Septuagint. The Septuagint translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. So, certain characteristics of the book seem to indicate that the author was a Jew and a classicist and very steeped in the Septuagint. Subpoint four, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 seems to indicate that the author is a second generation leader, second generation. Now, the apostles that actually saw and heard Christ, they make up the first generation. The apostles who actually saw and heard Christ, they make up the first generation. But because of Hebrews 2, verse 3, it seems to indicate that the author is a second generation leader. The man directly under the apostles, the men directly under the apostles make up the second generation. This then has the effect of ruling out the apostle Paul as the author. So possibly Apollos was the author, but no one knows. Subpoint five, the conclusion then is that the human writer of Hebrews is anonymous. The human writer of Hebrews is anonymous. One of the great early church fathers was Origen, and Origen summarized it this way, quote, God only knows certainly who wrote Hebrews. None of you. Subpoint six. This puts the spotlight on the principle, it's not the man, it's the message. And I guess this is boring for some of you. If this is boring for some of you, then get out. This is protocol for every book before we start. So this puts the spotlight on the principle, it's not the man, it's the message. Subpoint seven, whoever wrote Hebrews was deliberately obscured by God, the Holy Spirit. And the reasons will be obvious as we study the book of Hebrews. Then point three, and point three is date. The date. And that is circa AD 67 to 70. Circa AD 67 to 70. And I'll amplify that a little bit. One, the argument of the book does not indicate that either Jerusalem or the temple have been destroyed. So this was written before Titus and the Roman legions came and administered the fifth cycle of national discipline. So the argument of the book does not indicate that either Jerusalem or the temple have been destroyed. 2, therefore, the latest date would be AD 70. That would be the latest date, early. 3, the second generation concept of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 would push the date at least into the 60s. At least into the 60s. For Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 36, speaks of persecution. Hebrews 10, 32 to 36 speaks of persecution that would appear to fit the Neronian persecutions of the middle 60s better than any other time. So Hebrews 10, 32 to 36 speaks of persecution that would appear to fit the Neronian persecutions of the middle 60s better than any other. Subpoint 5, Hebrews 13, verse 23 says that Timothy was recently released from prison. Hebrews 13, 23 says Timothy was recently released from prison. Six, comparing this with 2 Timothy 4:11 to 13 gives evidence that Timothy was placed in prison when he went to visit Paul prior to Paul's execution in A.D. 68. So comparing this with 2 Timothy 4:11 to 13 gives evidence that Timothy was placed in prison when he went to visit the Apostle Paul prior to Paul's execution in A.D. 68. Subpoint 7, therefore, this would place the writing in the time period of A.D. 67 to the beginning of A.D. 70. This would place the writing in the time period of A.D. 67 to the beginning of A.D. 70. That's date. Point 3 is date. Point 4, dispensation. And the dispensation is the church age. The church age, from Pentecost to the rapture, the church age. Point 5 is history. Point 5 is history. 1, this is greatly hindered by the lack of definite knowledge about the author and the destination. So it's greatly hindered by the lack of definite knowledge about the author and the destination. 2, we do know that the recipients are a specific local church from Hebrews 13, verses 22 to 24. We do know that the recipients are a specific local group, local church, from Hebrews 13, 22 to 24. Three, from the tenor of the epistle, the recipients were mainly racial Jews. Racial Jews who were believers, who had believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So From the tenor of the epistle, the recipients were mainly racial Jews, but they were believers. They had placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Four, the recipients were very familiar with the Old Testament system of the priesthood and the sacrifices and history. So the recipients were very familiar with the Old Testament system of the Levitical priesthood and the animal sacrifices and history. In fact, the major problem was one of not moving on to the unique spiritual life of the church age. And the author of Hebrews, he warns them about this. He commands them, encourages them. You got to get going. You got to live the spiritual life and get to spiritual maturity. You're right. You're still hanging around with all of the Old Testament system of Levitical priesthood, animal sacrifices, and it's time to get up and get going. We're in the church age. We're not in the age of Israel. We're in the church age, the unique spiritual life of the church age. Live the spiritual life, advance to spiritual maturity, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. Five, the author continually uses the Septuagint, indicating that the readers were familiar with this version, which could be evidence against Jerusalem being the destination. The author continually uses the Septuagint, indicating that the readers were familiar with this version, which could be evidence against Jerusalem being the destination. Subpoint six. The people in this area had undergone persecutions. They had undergone many persecutions, and therefore the need for strong faith in the God-breathed scriptures, in the aletheia, in the absolute truth of the Word of God. But this faith had to be faith in church-age truth. They needed faith in the absolute truth of the mysterion, church age truth of the church age, not Old Testament ritual. They were hanging on to Old Testament ritual. They needed church age truth. They needed truth about the spiritual life and the spiritual skill. Subpoint seven. There are several possible destinations. People have thought it might be Jerusalem or Corinth or Alexandria or Rome. But of those, possibly Rome is the best choice. The language of Scholastic Greek plus the strong use of the Septuagint and the translations of Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 7 verses 1 and 2 go against Jerusalem. Hebrews 13:24, compared with Romans 16:21, may also point to Rome. Now point six. Point six, the theme of the book. The theme of the book. Hebrews presents the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The entire book of Hebrews presents the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The superiority of His person, the superiority of His work, the superiority of His essence, And with this as the basis, the believer is commanded to move on. Move on to spiritual maturity. Fulfill the ultimate objective of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Seven. Major doctrines. Well, first of all, Christology. And these, as we go through the book of Hebrews, you're going to have the best doctrine on Christology in the Word of God. Nowhere in the Word of God is Christology taught like it is in Hebrews. Nowhere. Absolutely amazing. And it starts right at the beginning. Right at the beginning and doesn't stop. It just keeps on. Superiority of Jesus Christ. Superiority of Jesus Christ. So we're going to see the full doctrine of Christology. We're going to see the doctrine of the deity of Christ. The spotlight on the deity of Jesus Christ. He is God. The superiority of Christ in every area. The faith rest life. Virtue love. Occupation with Christ. Redemption. The Redeemer, the Savior, the only Savior, the only Redeemer. There's only one Savior. There's only one Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Unlimited atonement. He not only paid the penalty of the sins for those who will believe in Christ, He paid the penalty of the sins of people for the whole world. Unlimited atonement. All the sins of mankind were gathered up by God the Father, poured out on Christ, and then judged in Jesus Christ once and for all. Point 8 is outline. Point 8 is outline. I'm going to give you the outline for the whole book. You ready? Roman numeral 1. Roman numeral 1, the preeminence of the Son of God, in His person and work. That's chapter 1, 1 to 10, 18. 1, 1 to 10, 18. The preeminence of the Son, the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, in His person and work. 1:1 to 10:18. Now, underneath that, A, the theme. The theme, chapter 1, 1 to 3. B, the superiority of the eternal Son of God to angels. The superiority of the Son to angels. 1:4 to 2:18. Superiority of the Son to angels. And then underneath that, 1. Proof from Scripture. Proof from Scripture, 1:4 to 14. 1:4 to 14. Proof from Scripture. Two. Application to mankind. Application to mankind. Chapter 2, 1 through 4. 3. Proof from His sovereignty. Proof from His sovereignty. Chapter 2, 5 through 9. Proof from His sovereignty. 4. Proof from His salvation work on the cross. 2 verses 10 to 18. So that was all under B. B, the superiority of the Son to the angels. 1:4 to 2:18. Proof from Scripture. 1:4 to 14. Application to man. Chapter 2, 1 to 4. Proof from His sovereignty. Chapter 2, 5 to 9. Proof from His salvation work. 2, 10 to 18. Now, C. Now we go back to C. And C is the superiority of the Son to Moses. The superiority of the Son to Moses. And that's 3, 1 through 6. Superiority of the Son to Moses. 3, 1 to 6. And then D. D is a parenthesis. A warning of disbelieving God. A warning of rejecting the absolute truth of the Word of God. 3:7 to chapter 4, verse 13. And under that D, 1, the historical background. The historical background, 3, chapter 3, verses 7 to 19. Historical background, 2, the current situation, chapter 4. 1 to 13, the current situation. And then E, the superiority of the Son to Aaron. The superiority of the Son to Aaron. 4:14 to 10:18. So, under Roman numeral 1, we had the preeminence of the Son in His person and work, 1:1 to 10:18. And we have the superiority of the Son to angels, 1:4 to 2:18. The superiority of the Son to Moses, chapter 3, 1 to 6. The superiority of the Son to Aaron, 4:14 to 10:18. And then under E, the superiority of the Son to Aaron, we have 1, a better position and person. A better position and person, 4:14 to 16. Two, a better appointment and order. A better appointment and order, chapter 5, 1 to 10. Three, in view of the better things, and a command, a warning, an exhortation to get going to spiritual maturity. A command to get going to spiritual maturity. 5:11 to 6:20. 5:11 to 6:20. 4, Jesus Christ of the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ of the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 7, 1 to 28. Chapter 7, 1 to 28. And underneath point 4, A, the origin of Melchizedek, 7:1-3, the origin of Melchizedek. B, the order of Melchizedek, 7:4-10. The order of Melchizedek, 7:4-10. And C, Jesus Christ, the royal priest. Jesus Christ, the royal priest, 7:11-28. Jesus Christ, the royal priest, 7:11-28. And then 5, a better covenant. A better covenant, 8:1-13. A better covenant, 8:1-13. 6, a better sanctuary and service, 9:1-10. A better sanctuary and service, 9:1-10. 7, a better sacrifice. A better sacrifice, 9:11. To 10:18. And under that better sacrifice, A, Christ's superior sacrifice. Christ's superior sacrifice, 9:11-12. Chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Christ's superior sacrifice. B, the results of Christ's sacrifice. The results of Christ's sacrifice, 9:13-28. And C, the efficacy of Christ's sacrifice. The efficacy of Christ's sacrifice, 10:1-18. All of that is under Roman numeral 1. The preeminency of the Son in His person and work, chapter 1, verse 1 to 10:18. Now, Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 2. The practical application of the preeminence of the Son in the walk of the believer. The practical application of the preeminence of the Son in the walk or the spiritual life of the believer. 10:19-13:25. A warning. An exhortation, a warning, and an encouragement. 10:19-39. Exhortation, warning, and encouragement. Underneath that one, exhortation. Exhortation 10:19-25. 10:19-25, exhortation. 2, warning. Warning 10:26-31. And 3, encouragement, 10:32-39. So exhortation, 10:19-25, warning, 10:26-31, encouragement, 10:32-39. B, examples of the faith life. Examples of the faith life. 11, 1 to 40. 11, 1 to 40. Examples of the faith life. Under that, one, the definition of faith. The definition of faith, 11, 1 to 3. And two, the examples of faith, 11, 4 to 40. So the definition of faith, 11, 1 to 3. The examples of faith, 11, 4 to 40. C, exhortation. The exhortation to advance to spiritual maturity and occupation with Jesus Christ. Exhortation to advance to maturity and have occupation with Jesus Christ. 12, 1 to 29. 12, 1 to 29. Under that, 1, the principle of the believer. 12, 1 and 2, the principle of the believer. Two, the principle of suffering and discipline. The principle of suffering and discipline, 12, 3 through 11. And three, the exhortation to advance on to spiritual maturity. The exhortation to advance on to spiritual maturity, 12 to 29. And that brings us to D, concluding exhortations. Concluding exhortations, 13, 1 to 25. One, we have exhortations. 13, 1 to 19. And two, we have benediction. 13, 20 to 25. Okay, we've studied the whole book. We're going to start a new book next week. Revelation. No, we'll be in Hebrews. All right. Now, by way of introduction, I have been studying in chapter 1, and I am totally overwhelmed. I have never exegeted or studied the book of Hebrews. I am totally overwhelmed. It is absolutely amazing. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ from beginning to end. The Lord Jesus Christ, and the spotlight is on the living and true God, Jesus Christ, from beginning to end. His superiority from beginning to end. And you're going to absolutely love this study. The book of Hebrews stands out as a masterpiece of revelation from God. It is one of the most significant books in the canon of Scripture. So by way of introduction, one, in a wonderful way, in a wonderful way, Hebrews provides the link between the dispensation of Israel and the dispensation of the church age. In a wonderful way, Hebrews provides the link between the dispensation of Israel and the dispensation of the church age. Two, Hebrews explains many of the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, giving believers a solid foundation on which to grow up in Christ and glorify Him to the maximum. Hebrews explains many of the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, giving believers a solid foundation on which to grow up in Christ and glorify Him to the maximum. Three, the Epistle to the Hebrews also uniquely presents the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Epistle to the Hebrews also uniquely presents both the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Four, it deals especially with doctrinal issues concerning Christ's incarnation, the incarnation and virgin birth on that very first Christmas, on His priesthood, His royal priesthood, which is infinitely superior than the Levitical priesthood, on His testing, on His endurance, on His substitutionary death, His spiritual death, His spiritual death on the cross. Now, at this time in the Roman Empire, it was not unique to be executed through crucifixion. The Romans were crucifying people all over. That was their main way of execution. Crucifixion. Lots and lots and lots of people were crucified. That's not unique. Jesus Christ was crucified. That wasn't unique. What was unique was that last 3 hours, totally unique, that last 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m., His spiritual death. When God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world and poured them out on Christ and then judged them in Jesus Christ. 3 hours. His substitutionary spiritual death. Totally unique. No one ever in the history of mankind ever provided the spiritual death, substitutionary spiritual death, of being the only Savior, the only Redeemer, the only one that the Father poured out the sins of the whole world in Him and then judged them in Him. And by doing that, unlimited atonement made it possible for anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ to receive the gift of eternal life. And also the totally unique resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you, I've recommended that you might try listening to The Chosen. Deb and I have been going through and listening to that. Absolutely phenomenal. And we're at that point where he had the Palm Sunday. Well, this is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday, they were all out there, Hosanna, Son of David, and they're all... No, they were expecting the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to come and establish His kingdom. They were putting the crown before the cross. And the plan of God is, the cross must precede the crown. And here's all these people throwing palm branches down, and they think, the King... Here comes the King, the Son of David, the Messiah. He's going to establish the kingdom. They were 100% wrong. 100% wrong. They were putting the crown before the cross. And the plan of God is that the cross must precede the crown. And the Pharisees... said, show us the sign, show us the sign, show us the sign. And he had already shown multitudes of signs, miracles. He already had. And he said, no, and a reversionistic and apostate generation seeks a sign. I won't show you any sign except the sign of Jonah. That's it. You crucify me and put me in the grave. 3 days later, I will come out resurrection. That's the sign. That's the last sign I'm giving. The sign of Jonah. You kill me. You put me in the grave. 3 days later, I will rise from the grave. And so we have his unique incarnation and virgin birth, his royal priesthood, his testing, his endurance, his substitutionary spiritual death, resurrection, and defense attorney, our advocate in heaven for all believers. Five. Crowned in heaven with glory and honor, Christ is the ultimate authority. Christ is your ultimate authority. Crowned in heaven with glory and honor, Christ is the ultimate authority. As the divine Son of God manifested in the flesh. True humanity. Crowned in heaven with glory and honor, Christ is the ultimate authority as the divine Son of God manifested in the flesh. Six, Hebrews presents Christ as infinitely superior to one, infinitely superior to all angels of heaven, as well as infinitely superior to Abraham, infinitely superior to Moses, infinitely superior to Joshua, infinitely superior to the Levitical priests. Hebrews presents Christ as infinitely superior to all angels, infinitely superior to Abraham, to Moses, to Joshua, to the Levitical priests. 7, Hebrews differs from other New Testament epistles in 3 ways. Hebrews differs from other New Testament epistles in 3 ways. First, there's no salutation. The author immediately launches into the subject of who Christ is and how he is infinitely superior in his person and ministry. Right out of the chute! No salutation. Right out of the chute. That's why I've been overwhelmed. Right from Hebrews 1, verse 1. Overwhelmed. And how powerful it is. So there's no salutation. The author immediately launches into the subject of the superiority, infinite superiority of Christ. How he is infinitely superior in his person and ministry. 2, Hebrews is shrouded in anonymity as to its author and its addressees, and it provides no information concerning when and where it was written. So that's 2. Hebrews differs from other New Testament epistles in 3 ways. Secondly, Hebrews is shrouded in anonymity as to its author and addressees, and it provides no information concerning when and where it was written. 3, it concludes with an intense challenge, urging believers to advance to spiritual maturity and occupation with Christ and love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, I haven't presented you all with my introduction. But maybe this will whet your appetite a little bit. Come back next week and we'll continue in the introduction with point 8, an introduction to this great, great, totally unique epistle. Putting the spotlight on the totally unique Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We thank you for all of the magnificent blessings you give to us. We thank you for the absolute truth of your word. May it become a source of happiness and blessing in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.